A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's interim host Joel Blank.
Ooh, what a bakedown! Hey, how we doing? It's an FBF Friday. That means Barry Lamb and X back, day two of the Usual Suspects reunion tour. And that means more FBF fun in the building. Sean Mapes behind the glass doing a marathon. Fellas, what is going on?
What's up, player? It's good to be here, man. I'm excited.
Of course. We had a great day yesterday. Friday. We're going to FBF Friday it, or FBF Friday, as you used to screw with me on.
I swear that was never, I know you thought it was part of my whole be mean to Joel thing,
yeah.
But honestly, Sean, if I say this fast, you tell me what you hear, okay? FYF Friday.
Well, if you say it like that.
No, FYF Friday. What does that sound like?
Sounds like English is your second language.
It sounds like, yeah, an F, yeah, but you kind of like stumble.
It sounds like F-E-F.
No, it doesn't. You're force feeding the answer.
F-E-F Friday.
You're forcing the answer.
Look, if I say F-E-F Friday, F-E-F Friday, you can't tell which one I said. No, I said both.
The first one you said F-E-F, and the second one you said F-Yeah. Yes, I can decipher
it. Well, I'm dumb, okay? I'm dumb.
Sean and I can decipher it because English is our first language. I don't know what the hell that was.
Pig Latin.
Now all you need is lawn talk and a freaking hammer, and you got the day all taken care of. How about that?
Please don't do the hammer. I'll lose it.
Okay, well, as an F-E-F Friday goes,
keep it together.
We got to keep you guys happy and satisfied like we used to do with the suspects. Therefore, Vernon Maxwell is going to be in studio with us.
What?
He's got a golf tournament coming up here in Houston, but always good to chop it up with V-Max. Sean has been playing a lot of video games in the last 24 hours to get his dump button ready because we know that VMAX normally thinks every show is on satellite radio and therefore lets it fly, and he's my guy, so I don't care. Let him go.
Yeah, be prepared. That's it. Just like he said yesterday, like you're playing Street Fighter.
Yeah, yeah. Just get the Galaga. Kids out of the car when we welcome in Mad Max.
Exactly.
Might
be a couple that we miss. You know,
it happens.
Through the cat cracks. It's a weird time-based thing, so there can't be so many dumps in a section of time, and Vernon Maxwell is going to put me to the test.
He is. Because can you change it, though? I think you can change it, right? Because there's like 5 minutes or like...
No, it's 8 seconds.
Sorry. 5 seconds. There was like 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10, if I recall.
Life.
Huh?
It's your sex life.
I want to be mad.
8 seconds.
I want to be mad, but...
Wasn't that the...
But the accuracy...
Wasn't that a bull riding movie with the guy from 90210?
Yes.
Luke Perry?
I almost said Luke Walker, but
wasn't
yeah,
it,
Luke Perry. 8 seconds.
Eight seconds.
I know that was a movie.
It was a movie.
I didn't know who was in it, Joel, because I didn't watch it.
Well,
I wasn't
a big
Luke
porn,
Perry.
Barry. It was a regular motion picture. It just
it
was about bull riding.
8 seconds was my home movie.
It could have been, but yeah. Let's hope, you know.
It was also a home movie for me, so.
You said home movie, right?
Yeah, home movie.
Like FEF. Seconds. I don't know what you were throwing together there.
It's a home movie.
Hey, guess what? The Astros play the Tigers tonight, so we got a big weekend series to talk about. Because nothing to talk about yesterday that happened at Minute Maid Park. Because after we got off the air, I thought, hey, great afternoon planned. I can catch some Astros baseball, see if they can get the series from the Red Sox. Little did I know a softball game would break out, and your team had too much beer, and they just started pounding the fences. And Maldi ends up pitching at the end. That's how bad it got.
I loved it. We finally found something for Maldi to do on this team. It's not catching. It's not hitting. It's,
well,
not,
it's not pitching. His ERA was almost as bad as the rest of the team.
You know what? I really was. I was on air doing my show when this was going down. And I promise you, I was doing play-by-play. And when I saw him plunk a guy, I was like, there's the strategy. At this point, it's, 15-1. If I'm Dusty Baker, I just look at Maldi and I give him the sign that just says, you hit every batter that comes to that plate until they eject you. And then what I do, if I'm Dusty, is I go to the rest of my bench players and I put them in one at a time to just keep plunking Red Sox until I'm out of bench players and we forfeit. So technically, we didn't lose the game. We forfeited. That was the strategy that he failed on. He should have just, and I mean plunk everybody.
Well, the thing was, is the same way you wanted to plunk everybody, J.P. France finally came down to life, and he started plunking bats. He was hitting the barrels, and they were hitting him, and it was not fun to watch because he was your savior. He was the one guy. Yeah, Verlander had a great start last time, but he was the one guy for the last month or so that has been your savior. dare I say, he's been your kind of interim ace. He's been doing everything right, quality starts, keeping in ball games, winning, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose yesterday.
Well, the good news is now we don't have to hear Astros Twitter say how he's going to win Rookie of the Year, which was absolutely ridiculous.
10 earned yesterday.
Yeah, 10 earned. That conversation is over with. I mean, he was never really in the conversation to begin with unless you were a part of Astros Twitter or just a diehard Astros fan.
I think he deserved to be in the conversation.
No.
In the conversation, not to win it.
I mean, look, I even the odds said that Yiner Diaz had a better odds of winning Rookie of the Year than J.P. France did.
But that's what I'm saying, not to win it. But he's in the conversation, top three, top five, best rookies in American League.
Not according to the odds.
Yeah, Yiner, if you're going to have an everyday position,
Gunnar Henderson's going to win it. Yeah, we know that, right? But according to the odds, Yoshida and Casas, is that his name, Tristan Casas?
Yeah, with the first baseman.
Yeah, both with the Red Sox, Tanner Beebe, Josh Jung, and Young. And Yiner Diaz all had better odds and have better odds to win Rookie of the Year than J.P. France. So that's what, 2, 4, 6 dudes.
Well, I said
six.
I said top five.
Which would make him seven.
For fifth.
Yeah.
If he's sixth.
I guess.
He's in the conversation.
We don't have to hear it anymore. Yeah, no, thank goodness.
Now that's over.
Guess what? Tell everybody who we're talking about.
J.P. France.
Okay. Where he's in the conversation. There you go. You said it. I said it. It's a conversation.
Yeah, we're having the conversation right now.
I mean, he's in the conversation. He's in.
Okay. You win. He's on the odds board. It's not like totally ridiculous that he was in the conversation. But if you listen to Astros Twitter, and dare I say, if you listen to Todd Callis and Jeff Blum, he was probably going to win it. And I love those guys. I do. But I just think it's, orange-colored glasses.
Sure.
Or as you would say, drinking the orange and navy Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it out of the system now. That's the thing. Get that out of your system. Learn from that mistake. It's good that you got beat up like that now, and it didn't happen in the playoffs. And hopefully he sits down with the team and he learns some of the mistakes that he made and let things get away like that, and he won't make that mistake again. I still believe in him.
The best thing about all of it is that you didn't lose any ground to Seattle. But you are in third place, but it's not insurmountable. But the main thing was the Arlington Rangers did it again. And I had great joy in finding ex-Astros finding ways to help out their former team. First, Carlos Correa doubles to tie the ball game. And then Will Smith comes in for the Rangers and just sets a bonfire off in the middle of a baseball field. And just like that, bye-bye, ball game. And Rangers lose again. So their losing streak continues, and the Astros are still in it. Now they open up a series against the Tigers. You got to take full advantage. You just have to put the pedal down now. Fromber's on the mound tonight. There is no excuses and no reason why. I don't care if some of the young players are playing well for Detroit. There is no reason why you don't handle your business in Detroit.
You have to. The bad news is, technically, the Mariners passed the Astros yesterday by a 0.001%. They have one less loss and one less win, so they are essentially tied. But it's like 0.001% that they are right now. So that's the bad news. But the good news is the Rangers keep losing.
Yeah,
but you got to take advantage of that. But I mean, like right now, dude, the Astros 4-6 in their last 10, which is
it's not good.
No. No, it's not.
And you know what's worse about it, Barry? A lot of these, the losses that are coming at home, they're a better than average road team.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't handle their business at home. And that's not something that you would expect because attendance is way up at Minute Maid. Everybody comes out to the ball games. They get great support. I don't know if they feel too comfortable or what it is, but they don't win enough ball games at home.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of baffling in a way. When a veteran team like this, a team this good, I think we all still kind of look at this team as kids, but let's be real. They're veterans. This is a veteran savvy team. But to barely be above 500 at home doesn't make sense because I think and maybe it's not, but you feel like Minute Maid has always been, at least the thought has always been that it's a hitter-friendly park and favors the home team, right? Yeah. Which you would think.
Well, and you know in the playoffs, it is, you can't hear yourself think.
Right.
It is loud. It is raucous.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. And if you're, they're rolling out droves, and I've heard from the national announcers that have come to town when you're watching the national telecast too, talk about every time we come in this building, all you see is the orange and the blue and the rabid fans and how great they are. It's not the fans' fault. Mm-mm. It's just for some reason or another, the team just isn't putting together wins at home this year. And it's been part of the reason why they haven't done what they've done previously and just run away with the division. And you know, you point to it and say, yeah, injuries, one. And the fact that they're not winning at home like they normally do is a little bit perplexing.
Yeah, the injuries, like you said, but even then, there's just, it's a weird thing for a contending team, a World Series contending team, to be just okay at home. And I don't get it, but I think, you know, like you said, it's not the fans.
No.
It's not, you know.
By no means. As much as we can bang on the fans for Rockets games, late arrival, mm-hmm. early departure, and Texans fans, which rightfully so, they've abandoned the team because the team basically for the last couple of years abandoned them with a bunch of knuckleheads and D-bags and stupid things, and then the team imploded. So you can point fingers there. You can't point fingers at Minute Maid and the attendance because it speaks for itself.
Yeah, no doubt. I was trying to see is this the worst or the most amount of losses they've had at home already at 31? And it is. You have to go all the way back to 2018. They lost 35 at home, but that was for the entire season, and they can still catch that. So yeah, this has not been a good home team, but good on the road. Yep. Which is good because it looks like as bad as this season is going, they're probably gonna a lot of their playoff games might more on the road than at home. So that may fare well for them.
Yeah, you know what? And the thing is it's kind of like the blessing in disguise when they took all the heat after 17. The fact that every building that they went into, they know they were going to catch it. They knew they were going to hear things and see things and be a part of things. But you know what? It toughened their skin. And it got them the kind of immune system that said, Altuve feeds off of it. You know that there are guys
that
literally just thrive under hearing that and going into that and doing that. And even, you know, the marathon game in Seattle or the road games that they've been a part of. No situation is too big for this team to go into. Now, the younger guys, it's a different situation because they really haven't been in it. Mm-hmm. But for the guys that have, I think they look at the road games and go, it's all right. We still got to play baseball. We still got to play nine innings. And they play the field and we do too. So let's go do it.
Yeah, I mean, those veterans, those are guys that went on the road in New York against the vaunted Yankees. How many years in a row and just, you know, beat them in Yankee Stadium? That's when you learn how to be a veteran and nothing rattles
you. It's nasty.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they've been there, done that, and they know exactly what they need to do. I think the bigger thing that you and I talked about is you want to avoid the wild card. I mean, at all costs, with Arlington struggling the way they are, you have got to seize the moment right now. Take care of business against teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
And just leapfrog them, because the one thing you don't want to do is get caught in a short series where one game can make a world of difference.
No, you got to win the division because it's that. And then, of course, like we said yesterday, it just sets you up bad. It sets up your rotation. It's not ideal anyways. And I went through, dude, this morning, just because of what happened last night, I kind of went down a rabbit hole because I was like, how many games did they have like this last year? And there was like two blowout games that they had, right? Mm-hmm. No big deal. But then I started looking at comparing statistically last year to this year, and I won't bore you with all the numbers, but I'll tell you this. If you go back and look at their pitching stats, whether it's ERA, strikeouts per nine, home runs per nine, and their hitting stats, runs, home runs, power, slugging, OPS, and all that, it's obvious when you break it down to that level what the problem with this team is, and it's pitching. And you were right, and I wanted to give you your flowers because I said, I don't know about this lineup. Listen, this team isn't much different offensively than they were last year, but pitching-wise, it is a stark difference.
Let's talk about it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more Astros. If you guys want to get in on the conversation, what is the biggest difference between last year and this year? Barry will give you the numbers. But if you want to get into it and give your opinions, 713-780-3776. That's the number to call and or to text. You can also hit us up on Twitch, twitch.tv, put in ESPN 975, or reach us on Twitter. It's Sean, it's Joel, it's Barry. It is the Usual Suspects reboot, otherwise known as the Reunion Tour, otherwise known as the Paul Gallant Show, otherwise known as ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
Tired of being your trail donkeys, acting like you some one-man GPS?
Welcome back to the Paul Gallant Show and your interim host, Joel Blank, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Back on the reunion tour of the Usual Suspects, otherwise known as the Paul Gallant Show. What does that guy say? Paulie G, you're the best in Houston. On the intro.
Who?
The old caller. Yeah, he goes like, yeah, Paulie G show or something.
It's the best in Houston.
Do y'all know who the caller was?
They use it for like three of the sound bites. I think he's the only guy that calls. But I mean, because everybody else is just interacting on Twitch and Twitter.
Don't you? Don't.
I mean, because he's the most interactive talk show in Houston. I'm just saying. All right, so before the break, you were telling everybody that you did a deep dive, because you never do those. And you're never analytical.
No, I'm never nerdy with it.
So you just decided to go down the rabbit hole and figure out some things about a conversation we were having yesterday about the fact that which is a better team, last year's team or this year's team? And, you know, in breaking it all down, I still think offensively they have the ability. There is a possibility that when everyone's healthy and all hands are on deck, including, oh, by the way, because I warned you, there's a reason why I call him Sprinkles and Icing, because he went into Dusty's office yesterday and said, I'm not quite ready to play. Jeez. So I'm not going on the road trip. I'm going back to where everything's sweeter, Sugarland, for a couple more games. I warned you people, don't look at me sideways of all of a sudden discomfort and then shutting him down comes back into the picture. But if Sprinkles and Icing is that on top of your cake at some point down the stretch, you can still be one of the most potent offenses in baseball.
All right, I'm gonna get to the stats in a minute, but you just jarred me a little bit. Who's more annoying with their injuries, Lance McCullers Jr. or Michael Brantley?
Well, you're missing one.
Oh, who?
Yeah, how about itchy trigger finger in the door? How about the fact that Yordan does all these things all the time, too, with his multiple obliques, and they can't figure out which hand. When Dusty's like, yeah, that right hand's coming along, and Yordan goes, no, left hand. Both hands. What are we doing?
You're calling Sprinkles as Yordan?
No.
Okay, I was confused. I thought Sprinkles was Uncle Mike.
Favorite relative. Okay. I don't mention him by name until he puts an Astros uniform on for the first time all season.
But, okay, and by the way, confession, we're going to go, like, way down the rabbit hole. I owe Yordan Alvarez an apology. It's a true story. I swear on everything. I slammed my hand in my door today.
Car door? We can't tell this. The Astros won't tell us. Car door or door at the house?
All the grief I was giving him yesterday, it was to the laundry room. We have one of those sliding doors. They call it a pocket door. And the door goes inside the wall, and then you close it. I was closing it, and they don't, like, latch or anything. Yeah. So it's like a heavy door, so you have to stop it. Guess what I stopped it with? My finger. Bam! I was like, oh, I get it now. Okay. Yep, I get it. That makes a lot of sense. That checks out.
Sean, for years we had rich people problems with Barry Laminack. I know. With the palatial Laminack Manor.
Yeah. I was going to say, what was the name of that door? It's a type of door I've never heard of.
It's called a pocket door.
Pocket door. Goes into the wall.
They don't cost any more than a regular door. It's just
Barry how
it's hung.
Specialized on pocket doors on Friday and Saturday nights, and then he finally elevated it to the laundry room.
Okay. This is not.
The butler got the morning off, so he couldn't open the pocket door for you, when you were... You weren't actually going low level and doing your own laundry, were you?
No, what I did is I have four maids. No, I'm just kidding. But I have all the doors now automated. It looks like I'm walking around a spaceship in Star Wars. I just walk up and it goes, psh. Yeah, that's how I have it now. It's like that. It's, you know, balling.
Do you wear those old, like, Devo sunglasses and, like, you know, do your, like, 99 Mork and Mindy Dr. Spock handshakes?
I have headphones that look like
Spock's ears.
Princess Leia's buns.
Cinnamon rolls.
Yes, yeah. Whatever those were. Yeah. Not her
buns.
We're
talking about her hair. We're talking about her hair, people. Yeah. We're keeping it we're on the up and up.
Although those would sell pretty good.
On our best behavior, yeah. Cinnabon's got a special for Star Wars. Yeah. Call Cinnabon in the morning.
One of the telling things about these stats from last year to this year that I shared with you earlier, defense, which it has been a problem this year, but they were sixth in errors per game last year. They're 15th, and it's been – I've been complaining about it all year. Abreu, it's a noticeable drop-off in defensive consistency at first base to what you got from Yuli. Yeah, Yuli may not have hit either. Like, Abreu's not hitting this year. But at least you could count on Yuli's defense. In fact, I thought it was a plus in most cases. But they are They committed about 0.44 errors per game last year. They're up to 0.52. Doesn't sound like a big jump, but that really is a big jump. But it's just across the board. Hitting-wise and pitching-wise, ERA is not even close to what it was last year. This pitching staff last year put up a 2.85 ERA as a staff. That's rotation and bullpen. That was good for second best in baseball behind the Dodgers. This year, they have a 3.96 ERA. 1.14 runs a game more than they did last year. So look no further than that if you're wondering why this team doesn't look like they did last year.
And you can keep going, and you don't even need to go to that deep a dive. When you just see how taxed the bullpen has been, when you think about how many guys in that bullpen are having career years in terms of innings pitched, I think they had three guys in the top five in terms of innings pitched out of the bullpen or appearances. In all of baseball, when you start talking about Abreu and Presley and Maton was way up there, and I think Neris is up there. I mean, those guys are all getting way too much work to where, as much as you want to get the starters ramped up, you also probably have to continue to try, and you can't with games like yesterday and the night before. You need to try and scale back the bullpen a little bit. That's why Graveman was supposed to come in and be such a big help, because Montero was so up and down, and you didn't know who you were going to get, but most times it was more bad than good. Graveman, as a former closer, as a former Astro, is supposed to be a guy that helps you kind of get some rest for some of the other guys, and still you don't lose anything, but you're losing games because of some of those guys in the bullpen.
Yeah, it's troubling, right? Because like you said, you make those moves, and in the past, this team has made moves at the deadline that have paid off, you've reaped the rewards and the benefit. Even if you didn't like the Trey Mancini and the Vasquez trades, there was some reward to that, whether it was resting Yuli and you know, getting his bat out of the lineup on occasion, or whatever it was, or putting some pressure on him, being able to rest Maldonado, or have a catcher that you could pinch hit for. They could hit from both sides of the plate late in games and playoffs and really not have a drop-off in defense. All those things were great. You're just not seeing it this year. I mean, the Verlander side of it, yeah, but that's a big domino to fall if Graveman doesn't live up to the reason you brought him in.
Well, and ironically, you heard, as much as Verlander, and we made it was a fairly big deal because we know how much he tinkers and spends time with analytics and video, that he had found something. And when you say you found something and then you go and you shove for, you know, six shutout innings, you believe, hey, this guy has found something and he's going to be even better. Graveman, and we heard Julia talk about this the other night, was talking about the fact that Julia was talking about the fact that Graveman had found something too. And then he had a really good outing. And then all of a sudden then he comes back and does this. And you're like, now which you can't afford to ask yourself the question, which Graveman am I going to get when I go to the bullpen?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are guys that you don't know that about, young guys or guys that you know have been inconsistent for a while. But yeah, there's some guys that you have to look at and know that you can count on. Presley, Abreu, Graveman. I mean, those are guys in that bullpen. Because Stanek, I mean, you would have thought, as nails as he was last year, I'm just stunned that he's struggled so mightily this year, you know?
Well, but even still, you guys, you know, Stanek was nails last year and had a 1+ ERA and couldn't find his way onto the field in the playoffs.
Well,
that also tells you how good the rest of the bullpen was, right?
Yeah.
I mean, trust is one thing.
Yeah.
But the main thing was you didn't miss him because of the fact that you had so many other talented arms that were performing so well. Now, part of that was Montero was having, literally, folks, and I kid you not, a career year.
Yeah.
I know no one believed me going into the offseason because he was so good last year that when you go back and not even dive deep as you do in stats, but just look at his whole career, he was a starter. He was a reliever. He was DFA'd. He couldn't find a role, and he couldn't find consistency. He found it for 1 year, and Jim Crane decided, pay the man, and pay him as much as we can. And how'd that work out?
Dusty was in on that, too, though. Let's not let Dusty off the hook.
Dusty.
Yeah, that was that interim, no GM, you know, space where Dusty and Bagwell, you feel like, or that's the rumor, anyways, had a lot of input on the signings of Abreu and renewing that contract. So, don't let Dusty off the hook totally on that.
Oh, no. You know what I mean? I don't, especially yesterday. But you're right that it was a several-headed monster of people making bad decisions.
Regardless of who made the decision.
Yeah, and those three in particular, when you start talking about, you know, sprinkles and icing, and then you start talking about Montero and Abreu, those don't look so good. And all three were done by those, you know, however many heads you put into a room, guys that were making decisions without a general manager. Yeah. So we'll continue to talk. John, we see you. We'll get you on the other side of the break talking some Astros. You're welcome as well. 713-780-3776. You can text, you can call, you can hit us on Twitch, you can hit us on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you, hey, we look, week zero is coming around in football. It is football season, y'all. It's what we've been waiting for. We love when football is upon us because we know that we're going to have so much entertainment and so many games to watch over the next several months. And you can make even the most uninteresting games like week zero of the college football season a lot more interesting if you put a little money down on it. And you can do that where I always tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag. I tell you to go to mybookie.ag with good reason, because they take care of their customers. They do it in a variety of ways, but the main way that they always do it is through bonuses. Right now, as always, they have a new sign-up bonus for new customers where you put money into your account and they put more money into your account to kind of help get you started and say thank you for signing up. For you existing customers, they do the same thing. They've got renewal bonuses where you can reload your bonus, reload and put more money in your account and get a bonus as well. And referral bonuses on top of that, where if you have friends that you've been talking to and telling people, hey, man, I'm making some extra side cash on mybookie.ag. If they sign up and they mention you, you get a bonus for that too. It's absolutely fantastic. And with football season now, there's so many different games that you can bet on and make the most uninteresting games that you see on TV more interesting by wagering. And they've got all the different bets. You can go against the spread, money lines, prop bets, totals, you name it, they got it. You can also bet on baseball, soccer, golf, and so much more. And now they have live casino betting with real dealers. You name it, if you want to get a little action on it, you can do it at mybookie.ag. As I always tell you, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. The only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
ESPN 975.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
You're wondering why there sounds like there's an actual adult hosting this time slot. It's because there is. It's the Paul Gallant Show with your adult host, Joe Blank, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
In honor of Sean Mapes and his flowing locks and
headband.
Usual headband, and the reference Barry made yesterday to Rat as one of the hair bands, along with others that we mentioned whenever we see Sean with said bandana on.
Yeah, yeah, it took me 24 hours to find Rat on YouTube to find the video, but here we have.
Welcome to the world of Joe promised. George. Normally it takes Joe George that long just to get a soundbite for
him. Yeah.
Does so it?
We give Joe our time.
It starts at the top.
He wears a lot of hats on that little head of his. And a lot of times he's got different hats on during our time slot.
Well, he's busy. Be nice.
Yeah, he's busy in Vegas.
Yeah.
Indulging in adult beverages.
I tell you what, he tweeted out a picture of where they're at.
Oh, man. Circa takes care of them.
That looked nice.
Yeah, the last time they were in Vegas, I was supposed to go, and my mother-in-law was supposed to come in and help babysit the kids so I could go, and she got COVID. And I couldn't go, so I said, hey, Creighton, you want to go for me? And Creighton was like, yeah, I'd love to. And then Creighton starts tweeting out pictures. And I'm like, are you bleeping serious, man? You got like a six-room condominium on top of the hotel overlooking everything with these luxury everything. Actually, it's just like your house. And then, I'm not there. And Creighton's just rubbing it in. And I sent him.
Well, I mean, you know.
Okay. But, I mean, I'm mad at him. He helped me out too, so it's fine.
Huh?
He helped me out by going, so it was great. I'm glad he got taken care of.
Are you sad that you didn't get to go, that you're stuck here with me instead?
No. I'm good. Okay. If you saw it on Twitch, you know what I said.
I hate it.
Yeah.
he shook his head, radio people. He shook his head yes and said no.
So, John was waiting patiently. Let's get him in here. We've been having this conversation about the Astros and some of the struggles this year, and are they better or worse than last year as we go forward. So, John, thanks for being patient. Welcome in. What's up?
Yeah, I want to tell him about the Astros pitching. I think we all know, especially the bullpen, is down this season as a whole. But if you look individually, last year they had like five or six pitchers that had like career years, and it's hard to duplicate. They had Montero, Abreu, Stanek, Javier, even Presley. I mean, some of those guys had by far their best year. And then the odds of that happening again, we're not that good. And I think that's just what's happening.
But now have you lost faith in them, John? Or do you still believe that, you know, with all that being said, that this team is still capable of doing what they need to do come postseason.
Now, I'm gonna say something that might make some people mad. I'm an Astro fan, but I'm just wondering how much that has to do with them getting their hands checked every inning or more often this year. I hope that's not the reason why they've all had down years, but
I think McCullers and Garcia had medical issues, which is why they're not what they were last year. But I mean, and Urquidy. But no, I don't think that. I don't think it's about the stick.
I mean, last year they were doing that, John. So I think you can put that concern aside. They started the hand checking two or three years ago. So it wasn't.
And no one's definitely doing out. It last. We just had a guy at the Padres the other night get thrown out
on
there's
his way
guys,
in.
Yankees, there's guys getting tossed all the time. If it was truly an issue, like even Garrett Cole.
He's just saying because they can't use the sticky stuff that's why their career year was. But they were doing that last year. So if your point is, John, that they had career years last year, it wasn't because.
Not
and falling off this year, it's not because of that rule because it was in place last year. In fact, I just looked it up just to try to confirm what you're saying. Yeah, Presley's ERA last year was 2.98. He's got a 2.77 ERA this year.
Yeah, he's had a couple of hiccups. Yeah. But you know what? It's kind of like. Why you don't need to lose your mind over J.P. France yesterday.
Right.
Because every so often, you're going to have a hiccup. You're going to have one of those throw-up-all-over-yourself games. And look, Verlander had a couple early in the season with the Mets. That's why he's, you know, to this point in the season, he's still trying to make up for that, to try to get the ERA down and the numbers to look more balanced. But all it takes, like J.P. France, watch his numbers. Look what his ERA was going into the game yesterday. He gave up 10 earned runs yesterday. That is going to change your numbers, and not in a good way. But I think overall, when you look at this Astros team from last year to this year, and kind of to John's point, but more so as you go in depth, regardless of like pointing a finger at either the spin rate or sticky stuff or things like that, when you lose as many pitchers as the Astros have lost, when you lose the guys that are being relied upon to the level that they're being relied upon, and then even if you don't lose them, they're losing their effectiveness and their stuff because of how much you're using them. And now let's take it out of the realm of just this season. Let's talk about the fact that how many seasons these guys have been going and going and going and going deep into the playoffs.
A lot of baseball.
World Baseball Classic. Some of these guys doing all these different things and how many years you've gone deep into the playoffs. You take a guy like Garcia who you hate to see it now, say it now in retrospect looking back, but even then they were talking about this guy has never thrown this many innings in his whole life. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he goes from AA to the majors, and he's throwing all these innings on the highest level possible. And you don't think at a certain point something's going to break down if you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. It's like Yao Ming's feet. When Yao Ming was playing year-round, you just knew that at some point it was going to catch up to you. And that's what's happening to some of these pitchers when you think about all the innings that were being used for guys like Garcia. McCullers is just issue after issue. You just don't know what, you know, how, if that's just, he's going to be injury prone. But some of the guys we're talking about, the taxing and all the innings catch up with you.
Yeah, it certainly can. Especially, I mean, you realize that they play winter ball or, you know, they do some of that stuff. But so does everybody else. But not everybody is making runs into the ALCS and the World Series year in and year out. And you're right. It does add extra wear and tear on the arm. And probably more of an issue on... Well, I mean, I guess I don't know. I would say the older guys, but if the younger guys haven't done it and aren't used to it, then that you know, like you said, that could be an issue too. I also think, you know what? It's hard to be great year over year over year.
Sure it is.
And sometimes you have down years. I mean, there are teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox that used to be the, you know, the quintessential baseball teams that you looked at and went, wow, that's what you try to model your team after. And now that's the Astros. And now that's the Braves and the Dodgers.
Sustainability is why we're talking about this team being the golden era of Astros baseball and talking about them as a dynasty. Because it is, to your point, so hard to do.
And it's also why you can't blame Dusty for a lot of this stuff. As you just said, they have been just decimated by injuries all year. Not to the point that it's cost them so significantly that they're out of the hunt. But I think everybody in this city feels like had this been a 100% healthy Astros team, it's probably a lot different, including the lineup, including the rotation and the bullpen and everything else.
Well, if you're as deep as you could have been with the guys that haven't played yet or the injuries you sustained, then you could do load management. Then you could give guys healthy days off more often because the guys filling in for them would be able to do and sustain. Now, but
let me ask you this, though. If LMJ is healthy, you probably don't go out and get Justin Verlander.
You may not even know who J.P. France is.
True.
I mean, so there, those things. Yeah. But I was going to say, when we talk about unsung heroes and the reason why this team, with all those injuries, is still able to sustain them all and be where they are.
Maldonado.
Well, but no, it's not Maldonado. You start talking about what Dubon did in the first half of the season, filling in for Altuve.
True that.
Chaz McCormick.
True that.
Yiner Diaz. You know, J.P. France.
Tucker's been, to me.
You can go up and down the list. But Tucker, you're expecting that from. But at the start of the season, if I told you, do you know who J.P. France is? Do you think that Dubon can play every day, fill in for Altuve, and hit 300 while he's out?
That's a good point. No, I mean, the Dubon thing is a great point, but I just, I mean, you feel like Tucker's been the guy, right?
Yeah, because Jordan's been hurt, too.
Yeah, and even with Altuve being hurt and Bregman starting slow and not having, you know, a great start or year that you were used to up until this point, Peña has struggled all year. The one consistent bat in that lineup, both health-wise and production-wise, has been Kyle Tucker.
And then he comes off of being sick for 4 days, and he immediately keeps hitting bombs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's been carrying your entire, so, you know, your entire team from time to time.
Okay, so I hate to transition, but let me ask you this. Does this boost his chances of winning MVP now because Shohei Ohtani is hurt and he's proven his value? Or is it done already?
I think he's playing against, he's not playing against Ohtani at this point. He's playing against the calendar and the clock, because I don't know there's enough games left. I think he's done enough in the time that he has done both. That he's, and because he's national, he's,
you think
in LA.
Ohtani has done enough.
Ohtani has, and he's in a national market where the writers and everybody are on his side. But we can talk about that as well as going forward, because it's a big weekend series with the Tigers. Don't forget Vernon Maxwell coming in studio. That should be a lot of fun as Sean gets ready for the dump button and we get ready to kick it back to Clutch City and rekindle some great memories here in the city. But it is Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, and Sean Mapes behind the glass with the Usual Suspects reboot. We're taking this all the way till 1 o'clock, so join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. Call, text, Twitch, or Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Brother never told you never threaten a man's family.
Look at our family now.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios. While Paul is nursing a hangover in Vegas, his show is being masterfully managed and curated by the best man for the job. It's the Paul Gallant Show, starring Joel Blank.
Hey, co-starring Barry Laminack, Sean Mapes, and of course the rest of you, TUS for life. For those of you to know, you know.
Yeah.
As we continue the reunion tour on the Paul Gallant Show, Paul will be wearing Hawaiian short shirts, two short shorts, and daiquiris and fufu drinks in Vegas later, filling in for me on the Killer Bees from Circa in Las Vegas, where they're living the life. Sean, doesn't that make you a little, doesn't that irk you, like next time you should get to go to the Circa?
Yeah, I remember when I get used to the one time I used to get invited to that.
I just think he kind of left you behind. I don't think he showed you the respect you deserve.
Yeah, because one time they went, it was back when it was Vanessa and Gallant, and Andrew was the producer that got to go. I think Andrew got another one.
You know, it's all based on looks, right? It's not based on talent. It's not based on longevity. It's all based on looks. That's why you never get to go.
I got to go once, but damn. And the fact Joe's going third, maybe you're right.
Yeah,
Andrew gets to go. Andrew got to go, and he didn't even work here. That's how good looking Andrew is. They're like, you can go.
Andrew one, me two, Joe three. Those power rankings work. Anywhere.
Like, Joel's like, that was mean. I'm like, where's the lie?
Well, the fly in the ointment is that Joe went.
Well,
because then if you're Sean, you're going, Wait.
I didn't have that bad of a 6 months.
Andrew, I get, but Joe?
Well, fair point.
Some people think our producer never changed. They think Joe still looks like Brendan. I mean, and Brendan went for Chicago like 8 months ago.
Oh, that's hilarious.
RJ got that until basically the day he left.
RJ got Dell all the time.
A lot.
Yeah.
That's racist.
Yeah. It's also racist with Brendan and Joe.
True. That's very true. Right, does every show have their own producer, by the way? How it works?
Yeah. That's how it works.
Wow.
Yeah. When you're not just blowing
you guys
up
are just
your melon
rolling in it.
Podcast by yourself. doing your own thing. Then
what?
You get your own producer.
Oh, you're talking about me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone's a one man show.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Playing, playing the tambourine
with
the
purple light
vuvuzela,
background.
The...
Okay. You know what? Both of y'all.
You can do moisture checks with the purple light while you see the face.
I don't do moisture checks. I mean, although I do, it does get hot in that room, so I do sweat a lot.
I think Crystal Collins at time, whenever I'm in there on your show, I think Crystal Collins and Donna, Barry, you need a little moisturizer. You're a little dry on the left cheek because, I mean, you can see every freaking pimple on your face.
Okay.
All right, you were saying Shohei Ohtani, which we were going to get to yesterday. We had so much to get to with local Houston sports-themed stuff.
Yeah.
But Shohei Ohtani shut down as a pitcher for the rest of the year. We were discussing both before, during, and after the show, during breaks and such. One, it's going to affect, like you mentioned, the MVP race. Mm-hmm. Or will it? Because he's done so much and been so dominant both on the offensive and the pitching side of things. Then, like I was saying before the break, I really feel like what's done is done. I mean, he's laid enough statistics down and groundwork that I don't think he's going to lose the MVP because he's still going to hit and he still wants to hit. But the more interesting thing that you look at is how does this affect his contract, which we were talking about could be in the $50 to $60 million range this offseason? How does it affect the Angels, who now look like they might be in a fantastic position that no one thought they were going to be in leading up to the trade deadline, whether they kept him or watched him walk, because now they're not going to have to pay him all that money, or they're probably going to try not to. But now a lot of teams are going to kind of take a step back going, this is what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. If he can do both things and do it the length of the contract, he's worth this. If he's only doing one of the two things, now you bring him back down a notch or two or three or 10 to where he's in the conversation with some of the big time hitters in the league, but not as much on the double dip.
It's interesting because that's a lot of that is going to be determined in the offseason when he goes through all these contract negotiations and talks to all these teams. I don't know. It's going to be hard to predict what these teams think. I think it was you yesterday in the bullpen said the Angels are still willing and able to talk to him. Like they're in 100% willing to give him whatever he wants because they believe in him. But one of the things is, you know, you were probably going to see a record-setting contract. You're probably not going to see that now. If he can't pitch next year and maybe there's concerns about him pitching going forward because you'd rather have hitting Ohtani versus no Ohtani.
Well, but that's a question, Barry, right? Because here's the other thing.
He still has a ton of value as a hitter.
What happened when you signed Verlander? You paid him all of his money for over a year because he couldn't pitch because of Tommy John.
Yeah.
So my question is, and that's why we were talking about it when we left the show yesterday, it's one thing to say with the URL, it's torn. But if there's a way that it can heal on its own, it's one thing. But if he has to go under the knife to get the arm fixed.
I don't think you worry about that.
Because
it's not a 2 or 3 year deal. If you're signing Ohtani, it's a 10, 12 year deal at least. But you're going to lose a full year of both. That's fine.
If he goes under the knife.
For a guy like Ohtani, you do that. If we're talking about, you know, I don't know, anybody else, I guess, really? You wouldn't do that. But to be able to get Ohtani back to what Ohtani is, you fade that year. You ain't worried about that. Now, the question that I have.
So you say a year. I think it's more. You know why? He's already hit Tommy John a couple years ago. Yeah. So now you're talking about McCullers-like stuff. What's the realistic possibility that he could get hurt again or that you go through this again? He's had Tommy John. He's going to go through this. It literally is Lance McCullers 2.0. But Lance McCullers 2.0 came on a bargain deal of 17.5 a year as opposed to a guy trying to get 60.
Yeah, and I don't know much about UCL, so I don't know what, you know, is it as bad as...
It's not Tommy John, but it's another breakdown of your pitching arm when you're getting paid for that arm.
Which is why I was wondering, maybe some teams look at it and say, you know what, how about instead of being a starter... We put you in the bully. You could be a closer. Now you could be a DH and a closer instead. Or you have that role set aside for him. You can still pitch. There's value in that, but maybe not a rotation guy once every 5 days. Maybe we put you at long relief, or maybe we put you as a setup man, or I don't know.
He's got the stuff to be a dominant closer.
Exactly. So and I think you can move him to that later, right? You could transition him from starter. I still say with how old is he right now? I don't
see.
Even,
I was wondering that when you were talking about a 10-12 year deal.
Oh, 29. Man. Yeah, yeah. You're right. And this dude, now, again, if we were talking about Juan Soto or Aaron Judge or whatever, yeah, they're great hitters, but you're talking about a guy who literally only one other person in the history of this game has been able to even come close to do what he's been doing the last couple years.
And only Pulido saw him play.
You fade that year or year and a half or whatever it is because you know going in, so that's why you sign him to a longer-term deal. And that probably sweetens the pot for him to sign with whatever team. If everybody else is saying, you know, 10 years, $500 million, 10 years, $600 million, whatever it ends up being, if you're another team and you go, we'll go $1,250, and we know we're going to lose the first year and a half with you, that gets him to sign, I'm taking that risk.
But you know what that is? If you're a team, that's stupidity, because not only are you taking the risk on the front side, but the return on the investment, as we've seen with the Cabrera deals, the Pujols deals, and deals that go that long for guys that are right on the cusp of 30 going into their 40s at the back end of the deal, you are going to get nothing over the last year to 2 to 3 years of that deal, and as well as the injury on the front side, to where it's really like you're getting 50% return on investment no matter what because of how many years you're going to be losing of prime Ohtani or ability to pitch Ohtani.
Sure. I'm fading that. If it's an organization that has their stuff together, that understands you can't just stop with Ohtani. And I'm talking about the Angels. They got Mike Trout. They got Shohei Ohtani. They made some tertiary moves.
Rendon is being paid a boatload, and he's hurt all the time.
They made some other pitching moves that were just like, they didn't move the needle. One didn't work out. I'm talking about if he goes to L.A., if he goes to New York, if he goes to a young Braves team, if he goes to one of those teams who is like, we are prepared to win World Series after World Series for the next 7-8 years, I don't care about the first two or the last two, because if you win two World Series in the span of those other 8 years he's on your team, I'm good with that.
Here's what I would do, and this is where you're really going to get into it with his agent. What I would do is I would just put markers in the contract. I would put tiers to it in clauses. If he does pitch and he's capable to pitch, you get X. If he gets this many innings, if he does this many things from a pitching perspective, you're going to get X. If you don't, you get Y. And so the majority of the contract. See, they
want. His agent would never let him sign that deal.
Because the agent is all about milestones. We want to be the biggest contract of all time. Right. We want the AAV has to be the biggest of all time. All these things have to be the biggest and the best, and that's why I said you're going to get into it with his agent, because it's like we're not saying we won't pay you if you're not pitching, but let's be fair to us. We shouldn't pay you if you're not pitching.
But see, teams like the Astros, teams like the Braves might do that, but then teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees will come right behind and go, yeah, we don't care about that. We'll guarantee you every single dollar of $50 million a year. We'll guarantee you every single dollar. We don't care. If he doesn't pitch a single inning for the first year, we don't care. And I agree with you that if I was a team, that's smart money to say, hey, if you hit certain milestones after the first year of the injury or whatever, then we'll up the ante. But the problem is you're not in a position to negotiate like that, because he literally holds all the cards by being who he is and having already done what he's done.
There you go. He's Barry. I'm Joel. That's Sean behind the glass. We're going to go with two more. One in the books. Two to go, two more in the big show
so good.
As we continue to roll on. Vernon Maxwell is going to join us somewhere down the road, and he's going to jump in studio, talk a little old school Rockets with you. We've got some U of H tickets to give away, so you got a chance to win those as well. It was the usual suspects. It is the Paul Gallant Show. I am on the Killer Bees, but maybe it's the OBs.
Nice.
Barry, blank, the OBs instead of OGs. See what we did there? A second hour of the show coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5 on FM radio. AM is stupid.
Emotional damage.
610, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.